Hello, this is Irene Bullard. I will be reading the Bloomington Normal Pantograph dated Tuesday, June the 5th. Let's begin on the front page. Human Services relieved by budget compromise. After 3 years of frustration, Central Illinois Human Services agencies are relieved by the state budget compromise that preserved health and human services programs. The uncertainty in state funding the past few years has decimated the network of human service providers across Illinois, said Mendy Smith, Children's Home and Aid Program Director of Family Support Services. It's encouraging that we finally have a full budget in place ahead of the new fiscal year, which begins July 1st, for the first time since 2015, Smith said. Being able to plan ahead for the services we provide means better outcomes for more children and families. Hospital systems also were pleased after expressing concern when the governor announced his proposed budget in February. We applaud the General Assembly for passing a bipartisan budget that doesn't include reductions to Medicaid, which serves as a safety net for so many Illinoisans, said Colleen Canaday, president of Advocate Broman Medical Center in Normal and Advocate Eureka Hospital in Eureka. We are also pleased to see other key provisions, such as an appropriation to pay down the state's backlog of bills, requirements for preventative dental services in Medicaid, and support for independent pharmacies in the rural communities that we serve, Canaday said. Chris Manson, Vice President of Government Relations for OSF Healthcare, said, while pleased with a budget resolution before the deadline, we also appreciate that there were no cuts to Medicaid funding, which allows us to continue to serve those who come to us for care. The budget includes $5.9 billion for human services, including a $50 million increase for early childhood education, Smith said. But the General Assembly didn't increase rates paid to private child welfare providers, rates that have been increased only twice in 17 years, she said. I am very relieved that for the first time in years, the legislators have come together and done their job in passing a budget on time, said Ricky Lee Benick, Executive Director of Life Center for Independent Living. While we anticipate no cuts with this budget, it should be noted that for those of us working in Centers for Independent Living, this means flat funding at the same amount from 10 years ago. Puneet Leka, Chief Operating Officer for Chestnut Health Systems, was glad the bipartisan resolution avoided the crisis that we endured over the past several years. The budget focuses on the needs of people with substance use disorders and mental illnesses without adding new taxes or cutting Medicaid spending, Leka said. While funding for the state's Division of Substance Use Prevention and Recovery and Division of Mental Health stayed relatively flat, treatment agencies like Chestnut will experience a 3% rate increase for all Medicaid and non-Medicaid substance use treatment services. Susan Real, Executive Director of the East Central Illinois Area Agency on Aging, said, overall, the aging network is very happy with the budget. Planning and service grants increased by 12%. The long-term care ombudsman program increased by 11%. Adult protective services went up 1%, and the care coordination unit system increased by 8%. We are hopeful that this return to regular order for budget development and passage will once again become the norm, said Jim Runyon, Easter Seals Central Illinois Executive Vice President. Runyon noted that the previous budget impasse created chaos and uncertainty. The budget includes a small increase in early intervention services and restoration of the autism program funding to fiscal 2015 levels, he said. Liz German, YWCA, McLean County Vice President of Operations, said, we do feel the ease of this budget approval is a clear indication of an upcoming election, and we hope The progress made on compromising will continue to be seen at the state level after the election cycle. Rauner, budget a good step forward. Illinois Governor Bruce Rauner on Monday signed a full-year state budget for the first time since he took office, foregoing the pro-business changes and tax cuts that he demanded throughout a years-long budget impasse for an election year plan that he said moves the state forward. The Republican who's seeking his second term this fall was joined by legislators from both parties at a bill signing ceremony where they lauded the $38.5 billion spending plan as balanced and bipartisan. Rauner acknowledged he was not able to persuade the Democratic-controlled legislature to repeal the tax increase he's railed against since legislators passed it last year. But he said the budget for the fiscal year that begins July 1st includes other items he wanted, such as a pension buyout plan lawmakers say could save Illinois more than $400 million. This is a bipartisan compromise. None of us got everything we were looking for, Rauner said. Today is a very good step forward. A spokeswoman for Democratic gubernatorial candidate J.B. Pritzker said the governor's approval won't change the massive amounts of damage Rauner did with the budget stalemate, while the Democratic Governors Association said that his signature was 3 years too late. Rauner deadlocked with majority Democrats after taking office in 2015 over his so-called turnaround agenda, which included reducing regulations on business and weakening labor unions. And that prompted a more than 2-year state budget impasse and massive cuts to social services, higher education, and other areas. The state's already dismal credit rating dropped further and debt piled up by the billions. Rauner's decision to wait for an election year before finally signing a budget is just one more insult to the people of the state, said DGA spokesman Sam Salustro. Bruce Rauner forced Illinois to endure 3 years of budget crises, and voters want to know what was the point. Rauner is considered one of the most vulnerable GOP governors seeking re-election this fall. The contest between the wealthy former private equity investor and Pritzker, an entrepreneur and heir to the Hyatt Hotels fortune, already has broken spending records for an Illinois governor's race. Pritzker on Saturday reported giving his campaign an additional $25 million, bringing his total contributions to more than $100 million. Rauner has topped $75 million. Senator Bill Brady, the Republican leader in the Senate, said Monday that Rauner realized months ago that Illinois needed a win. He said Rauner instructed GOP lawmakers to come up with a balanced budget that didn't rely on additional tax increases. Rauner said the state is benefiting from higher-than-expected income tax revenue, which he attributed to the Republican tax plan passed by Congress. He didn't mention the billions in additional revenue from the state income tax increase Democrats and some Republicans passed over his veto last year as part of a deal to end the budget stalemate. The new budget includes several items lawmakers will be able to tout on the campaign trail. They include an expanded tuition grant program aimed at keeping Illinois high school graduates from leaving the state for college, an increase in funding for K through 12 education, and money for improvements at the Quincy Veterans Home, where 13 residents have died from Legionnaires' disease. Police: man shot out windows on I-74. State police in Pasotum on Monday said 45 reports of damage to vehicles are part of an investigation that resulted in the arrest of a Wisconsin man now accused of firing a slingshot from his semi-truck across central Illinois. Kevin L. Casey, 53, of Janesville, was taken into custody Friday on one count of aggravated battery to a child, one count of aggravated battery on a public way, and criminal damage to property. Police said Casey was using a slingshot from his moving semi-trailer truck to fire ball bearings at vehicles. Casey appeared to have been targeting minivans and trying to blow out the vehicle's windows, Champaign County State's Attorney Julia Reitz said in a statement. Illinois State Police had been investigating a series of reports of cars damaged along Interstate 74 since March 30th, when police found one person's car had a 10-millimeter ball bearing inside it, Reitz wrote. The 45 incidents being investigated are in DeWitt, Champaign, Vermilion, and Piatt counties, state police said. The investigation also includes Indiana, Ohio, West Virginia, and Virginia, according to police. A May 8th incident left a child injured by flying glass from a broken vehicle window, said Reitz. Victims who reported damage on Wednesdays were traveling west on Interstate 74, and on Fridays, most of the victims reported traveling east, authorities said. Police said they pieced together similar vehicle damage incidents on May the 8th, May 11th, and May 18th using camera images collected by the Illinois Department of Transportation, the Illinois State Police, and local businesses along the I-74 corridor. Investigators noticed that on the videos, a white semi-trailer truck with plates matching a semi-trailer truck Casey is known to drive was passing the victim's vehicles at the time of the car damage, said Reitz. Police said they canvassed sections of I-74 to locate Casey, and investigators spotted his semi-trailer truck at 7:05 p.m. Friday traveling west on I-74 near Champaign. Reitz said Casey had a slingshot making materials and several types of ball bearings in his possession. Casey admitted that he had been shooting at vehicles with a slingshot and metal ball bearings while driving, Reitz wrote. Casey indicated he'd aimed for minivan windows because they provided a bigger target, Reitz said. Reitz said Casey was previously convicted of sexual assault of a child in Wisconsin in 1998. He served a 15-year prison sentence in a Wisconsin state prison. Today in history. Today is Tuesday, June the 5th, the 156th day of 2018. There are 209 days left in the year. Today's highlight. On June the 5th, 1968, Senator Robert F. Kennedy was shot and mortally wounded after claiming victory in California's Democratic presidential primary at the Ambassador Hotel in Los Angeles. Assassin Sirhan Bishara Sirhan was arrested at the scene. On this date in history, in 1527, a month after Rome was conquered by troops of the Holy Roman Empire, Pope Clement VII surrendered. Thought for today. I know in my heart that man is good, that what is right will always eventually triumph, and there's purpose and worth to each and every life. Said by President Ronald Reagan, 1911 to 2004. Chambers named to bench McLean County State's Attorney to replace retiring Judge Freitag. McLean County State's Attorney Jason Chambers on Monday was named a circuit judge, filling the vacancy created with the upcoming retirement of Judge Robert Freitag. The appointment was made by Illinois Supreme Court Justice Rita Garman. Freitag is retiring effective July the 6th. Chambers' appointment is effective August 21st, with the term ending December the 7th, 2020, when the vacancy will be filled by the winner of the November 2020 election, the High Court said in a statement. Garman said Chambers has been a distinguished state's attorney in McLean County, has a wide variety of experience, and is highly recommended by both the bench and the bar. Garman recommended the appointment to the full court following a review of applicants by a 7-person screening committee consisting of 4 non-lawyers and 3 lawyers who reside in the 11th Judicial Circuit. After the Supreme Court announcement, Chambers said the new appointment brings with it a mix of emotions. If you had asked me a year ago, I would have had no intention of seeking a judicial position, but with so much significant turnover of long-term judges, the circumstances were right, said Chambers. The move from prosecutor to judge will allow Chambers to serve the justice system in a different capacity, he said. His experience as a veteran member of the McLean County Criminal Justice Coordinating Council could be part of his new role. If asked to serve on the CJCC, I will embrace that, he said. Chambers has been state's attorney since 2012, having also served as an assistant prosecutor. Prior to his election, Chambers was in private practice. He earned a Bachelor of Arts degree from Illinois Wesleyan University and his law degree from the Southern Illinois University School of Law. The McLean County Board will name a replacement to serve as state's attorney for the remainder of Chambers' term. Chief, Bloomington house fire started on deck. A Bloomington home, a Hayworth barn, and a Dwight bar were all damaged by fire over the weekend. In Bloomington, the cause is still undetermined, for a fire that began late Sunday afternoon at 108 Constantine Avenue on Bloomington's far west side, said Bloomington Township Fire Department Chief Tom Willen. Firefighters were called at 4:27 p.m. to the Bloomington Heights area and found the single-family residence owned by Aaron Brown fully engulfed. Crews from Downs, Hayworth, the City of Bloomington, and Danvers assisted. We think it started on the exterior of the building around the deck area, said Brown, but the cause is still under investigation. Willen said the fire was aided by strong wind recorded at more than 30 miles per hour at the time of the blaze. There was a sliding glass door off a small deck, and once the fire reached that glass, it was a wind-driven fire, and it just blew that fire right through the entire home, he said. The home was destroyed, but a damage estimate was not available Monday. There were no injuries reported. Crews remained on the scene until about 9 p.m., extinguishing hot spots. While the crews were there, the Hayworth Fire Department was notified of a barn on fire just off of U.S. 51, about 2 miles north of town. The barn and its contents were destroyed. There were no injuries reported. A damage estimate and cause are still under investigation. The Dale Township Fire Department, Downs Fire Department, and Wapella Fire Departments assisted. Also on Sunday at 6:05 p.m. in Dwight, a fire was reported at the Rendezvous Bar located at 112 South Franklin Street. Dwight Fire Chief Justin Dyer said the cause remains under investigation, but the building sustained too much damage to be occupied. Officials from the city are expected to assess the damage this week. In addition to Dwight Fire and Police, several other departments were called to the scene, including fire departments from Odell, Mason, Braceville, Morris, Limestone, Hersher, Salina, Sonneman, Reddick, Fairbury, Coal City, Pontiac, Seneca, Essex, Braidwood, Manuka, Chanahan, Troy, Wilmington, Elwood, South Wilmington, Streeter Forest, and Grand Ridge. There were no injuries reported. Neighboring buildings also sustained some damage, said fire officials. Crossing guard services outsourced. Normal officials hope to spend a little more money but free up valuable police service time and control future costs after outsourcing crossing guard services to a private contractor. The town will spend $82,872 in a year-long deal with All City Management Services, a Santa Fe Springs, California company that runs more than 250 crossing guard programs across more than 20 states, including for the city of Bloomington, up from about $50,000 crossing guard salaries paid per year by normal police department. We understand there's some additional costs, said Police Chief Rick Bleichner, but there's also a lot of those soft costs now. Over the last 2 years, we have spent 300 to 350 hours filling vacancies, and that's over 8 weeks' worth of time that those officers could be utilizing doing other jobs. Leichner said current crossing guards are expected to keep their jobs in the transition. The town now supplies crossing guards to 10 locations near McLean Unit 5 schools. Future applicants will apply through the contractor directly. We have had some rather substantial workers' comp claim injuries that have happened over the years, said Bleichner, of how the contract controls costs. This will eliminate that. In other business, the council approved a reduced slate of Harmon Arts grants. The awards were halved to $25,000 in this year's budget, but interest stayed high, with 28 applications, totaling $74,297 requested. In 2017, 30 applications requested $90,067. Checks will be given to the 18 winning agencies at the June 18th council meeting. The grants, which support art programs in Normal from recognized not-for-profit organizations, are named for and selected with assistance from former Mayor Paul Harmon. Spending community development, block grant funding, federal money for local work from the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development. The town plans to spend $224,000 on streets and sidewalks, $68,000 on sewers, $62,000 on youth education and family activities at Unity Community Center and homeless outreach through PATH, providing access to help, and $24,000 on down payments assistance to homebuyers. A $66,863 project with Champaign Signal and Lighting Company to replace traffic signals at the intersection of West Beaufort Street and West Vernon Avenue. Two hurt after being shot at. One man was shot and another injured after the car they were in was shot at early Monday morning near downtown, said police. BPD spokesman Elias Mendiola said the police were called at 1:14 a.m. to the intersection of Monroe and McLean Streets for a report of multiple shots being fired. As officers were en route, dispatchers received another call of an injured man at the intersection of East and Jefferson Streets. There, officers found a 19-year-old man with a gunshot wound, Mendiola said. Police then located another 19-year-old man nearby. He also was injured, but Mendiola said how he was injured is not yet known. Both men were transported to local hospitals, but the extent of their injuries has not been released. The two men said a vehicle approached their car and a person or persons inside fired shots at them, but they did not know who the suspects were or why they were shooting at them, police said. During the investigation, officers located the car the two men were traveling in and found the rear window had been shattered by gunfire. The car was still running, police said, and several shell casings also were found in the area. The investigation is continuing. There have been no arrests, Mendiola said. Anyone with information is asked to contact BPD detectives Kurt Mass at 309-434-2534 or cmass@cityblm.org or Paul Swanland, 309-434-2373 or pswanland@cityblm.org. If you want to remain anonymous, call McLean County Crime Stoppers at 309-828-1111. If your call leads to the arrest and indictment of suspects, you may be eligible for a reward of up to $1,000. 4. Join McLean County Board Race at Deadline. 4 more have joined the crowded field for McLean County Board, including an opponent requested by the loser of a primary race. Republican Cheryl Froelich will oppose Democrat Shana Wachinski in District 8 in the November 6th general election. Wachinski defeated longtime member Paul Segobiano on March the 20th. On April 2nd, he told WJBC that he would not endorse her and hoped to help a candidate that he felt was worth backing enter the race. Her inclusion on the ballot will provide voters a choice in November, said Connie Beard, chair of the McLean County Republican Party of Frolic. Libertarian Steve Seuss is also running for the seat. Others slated on Monday's final day for major party candidates included Democrat Bruce Leninger for a District 10 seat, also sought by incumbent Republican Chuck Erickson and Libertarian Kevin Woodard. Libertarian Michael Seuss for a District 1 seat, sought by Republican Gerald Thompson and being vacated by Republican Don Cavallini. Thompson defeated Jeremiah Houston on March the 20th. Seuss is Steve Seuss's brother. Libertarian Saul Roberts Lieb for a District 9 seat sought by Republican Jeremy Bradley and Democrat David Parker. Libertarian Richard Bennett withdrew after moving out of the district. Incumbent Aaron Rankin decided not to run again to become chair of the McLean County Democratic Party. Independent and new party candidates can file from June the 18th to the 25th. Candidates may withdraw from the ballot through August. Other local contested races include incumbent Republican Clerk Kathy Michael versus Democrat Nikita Richards, incumbent Republican Treasurer Rebecca McNeil versus Libertarian Lex Green, incumbent Republican District 2 County Board Member Jim Soldner versus Democrat Dave Seibert and Libertarian Paul Michael Anderson, incumbent Republican District 3 County Board Member Randall Martin versus Libertarian Chris Howick, incumbent Republican District 4 County Board Member Mark Johnson versus Democrat Logan Smith and Libertarian Alexandra Eagle, incumbent Republican District 5 County Board Member Dave Selzer versus Democrat Elizabeth Johnston, incumbent Republican District 7 County Board Member Ryan Strichlow versus Democrat Sharon Chung and Libertarian Bennett Morris, Republican Sheriff John Sandage and Democratic District 6 County Board Member Lori Wolrab are unopposed. September trial date set in child porn case. Over repeated objections from a defendant, a September 17th jury trial date was set Monday for a man representing himself on child pornography charges. Jeffrey Martin spent the better portion of a two-hour hearing interrupting Judge Scott Drzewski to the point that he was removed from the courtroom several times. After repeating his instruction to Martin numerous times to stop talking, the judge asked the 53-year-old defendant, "What portion of be quiet and let me finish my sentence don't you understand?" Martin faces 13 counts of possession of child pornography found on a computer in the home of a woman who has accused Martin of sexually abusing her. The rape charges involving the woman also are pending. Martin told the judge that he was not prepared for a July trial. "The defense is no way near even starting to get prepared for this trial," said Martin, arguing that he has not viewed a large amount of audio-visual evidence the state may use at the trial. Drzewski remanded Martin to the McLean County Jail from prison, where he is serving a sentence for aggravated battery, to allow him to view the state's evidence. The judge refused Martin's request for open-ended court proceedings in the case without a court date. Martin cited two reasons for the proposed delay, including his plan to use money from his inheritance to hire an expert to refute the state's opinion that the images depict minors. Martin also said that he will challenge what he termed the question about the legitimacy of Brad Park's honesty in the investigation. Park, who is the Normal Police Department detective who removed the computer from the woman's home, admitted at a hearing in March that he provided inaccurate information in a request for a search warrant used to examine the computer. Drzewski gave Martin 30 days to provide information on his progress in securing an expert. Martin initially said that he planned to demand that the Illinois State Police review the state's evidence, but withdrew that demand after the judge explained that state police perform work for the prosecution, not the defense. A June 7th hearing is scheduled to discuss additional pretrial motions that Martin may file. Public defender Ron Lewis has been appointed standby counsel for Martin in both cases. We've come now to the end of the first half hour of the pantograph. We'll take a short break. Please stay tuned.